Looking here in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, we began looking at it. And, of course, last week we had talked about the fact that it is among the saints of God that we are to be our brother's keeper. We are to watch out for one another and to exhort and rebuke one another, to guide and direct us in the way. And if a brother's overtaken in a fault, we are to go to him and to counsel him, considering ourselves lest we also be tempted. Well, he goes on to say that when among the saints of God, that if we have been defrauded among, or we feel that we've been defrauded among saints, then we ought to take our grievances to the saints, not out into the world. There shouldn't be any interaction between God's people and the court system in solving disputes and problems among God's people. That's simply what Paul's saying here. He said, I speak to your shame. Is it so? There is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Or is he saying it's better to be defrauded and just lose whatever it is you think is yours by right than it would be to become embroiled among unbelievers with the people of God? That be handled among the saints of God. He says, nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. In other words, by not willing to be defrauded yourself, you're defrauding your brethren. Now, that doesn't sit well with the flesh. It doesn't sit well with the natural man's thinking, does it? But it's the same thing that the Lord said, if a man sues you at the law to take away your coat, give him your cloak also. If he compels you to go with him a mile, go with him too. If he smites you on the right cheek, turn to him the left. I mean, that's just not in keeping, is it, with the law and thinking of men. And that's very important. As Paul comes forward with what he's fixing to say here, that we know and understand exactly what he is saying. Now, what he's saying is that we, among the saints of God, those who've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and set free in Christ from the law of sin and death, we don't have any business operating in our mind and in our lives like the world does, because we have a different thought process. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that's your brethren, when ye don't, are not willing to be defrauded yourself. Now listen to what he says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to go into detail about what each one of those things is. You can look them up and you can decide, but take it my word for it. It covers the gamut of everything that man could and is guilty of, those things. And so what he's saying here, as he goes on to say, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It includes all those things. And lest a man think that somebody out there is going to inherit the kingdom of God by his own nature, let him be reminded that that covers everybody. Nobody's going to inherit the kingdom of God by not being some of these things. Now, those that do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But what he does not say is, well, don't do those things and you'll inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that's how men think, isn't it? Because they say, well, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not a drunkard. So, I mean, that's in my favor, isn't it? Well, what about all the rest of them? I mean, you know, have you never had any thoughts toward those things if you've never committed the action? Of course you have. I mean, that's just the way of nature. It's the way of men. But then listen to what he says. And such were some of you. He said, that's what you were. Now, in reality, if he was speaking to them in the flesh, he wouldn't say such were some of you. He'd say such are some of you. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about what they are in Christ. He says, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Now, we're not a bit different in the flesh, that is, in what we are by nature. Our nature hasn't changed. We're just what we've been born to be. We are what we are. But we've been washed, he said. You've been made clean. He said something has happened here. You are washed. You're sanctified. You're set apart. Ye are justified. Ye are, as far as the law is concerned, you are not an extortioner. As far as the law is concerned, you're not a drunkard. As far as the law is concerned, none of these things apply to you. Why? Because Jesus Christ has satisfied the claims of the law. You're justified. Now, if a man is justified before the law, then he can walk free from the courtroom, can't he? I mean, you can go in there accused of all kinds of crimes. But if the judge says you're justified, what does he mean? He said, the law has no, it can't have any hold on you. It can't do a thing to you. It can't condemn you. It can't bring you into condemnation. And that's very important as we understand what justification is, that as we read on into this. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Not only in the authority of Christ and through the power of the working of the Spirit of God, who has taken these things that Christ has done and applied them to us. And brought us out of darkness and into the light, and such we were. We've left that behind. We're not that anymore. Now, when we were born again by the Spirit of God, and our mind was brought to a place of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were taken from darkness and into the light and shown something that we had not heretofore seen. Something happened. It did happen. It happened that we were made new creatures in Christ. Now, we didn't cease to be old creatures, but we became new creatures. That's what we are. We're new creatures. We're creatures that never existed before. Because you see, before we were all those things. Now we're not those things because of what Christ has done. Now listen to what he says here. He says, all things are lawful unto me. Now that's a mouthful. And a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people don't think Paul was wrong. A lot of people think Paul overstepped his bounds. But listen to what he's saying. He says, such were some of you. But he says, now all things are lawful. Now think about it a minute. What's he saying? He's saying what he said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that's a statement of fact. Now there is nothing, zero, nada, zilch, There's nothing that can bring the sons of God into condemnation. If they are in Christ, is that not what he's saying there? He's not saying now they're sitting in a precarious place. They're in Christ, but if they do the wrong thing, you're going to get out of Christ. Is that what he said? No. He said you were that, but you're not that anymore. Why? Because something that Christ did. And if Christ did it, then there's no condemnation to you. And listen to what he says. All things are lawful unto me. Now, boy, the flesh says, oh, boy, all things are lawful. I'll just go do anything that my flesh desires. Wait a minute. He said, that's what you were. He said, that's what used to be the mindset that you had. He said, that's how the flesh thinks. He says, you were that. He said, but you've been washed. He says, you've been sanctified. You've been cleansed. You've been justified. He says, now, whereas before, all of those things that your flesh delighted in and ran after, he said, they were things that were bringing condemnation to you. He said, that's no longer the case. He says, they can't condemn you. He says, all things are lawful to you. Now, that all is a big thing. All things are lawful. You mean it'd be lawful for me to go kill somebody? In the context in which Paul says it right there, it would be. Now, would it be a violation of God's law, the Ten Commandments, if you went and killed somebody? Well, of course it would. Paul's not saying that the Ten Commandments had changed. What he's saying is that our relationship to those laws had changed. And therefore, there's no condemnation to us, and all things are lawful. And I can't be brought under condemnation by anything that I do because of the fact that Christ died. Now, it's very important that we keep this in mind. But then he says, but all things are not expedient. That is, all things are not useful. All things are not helpful. Now, when we walked in the flesh, the only thing we were concerned about was could we get by with it. You know, that was what we thought, wasn't it? I mean, as long as we can get by with it and not get in trouble, we were willing to do it. Now, you know, it's amazing that there are many things that restrain men in the world from committing various things. I mean, some men don't commit murder because they fear the consequences of it. It's not because they're not murderous in their heart. I mean, there's probably been times in your heart that, you know, you've thought about that you'd just like to kill somebody. And you would have done it, but that was something that restrained you. And that was the grace of God, we know that. But maybe you feared the consequences, or there was something that restrained you. So Paul's saying here, he says, all things are lawful to you, but all things are not useful to you. They're not beneficial to you. And so the thinking that the children of God have is not that we do things because we can do them. Now, some people look at Christian liberty as being that which a Christian can do. Well, we can do anything. We've got liberty to do anything. Well, it's not going to bring you into condemnation. I mean, you know, you can go drink and get drunk. That's not going to bring you into condemnation. Now, is that a good thing? Would you think it would be a good thing? No, it wouldn't be a good thing. And therefore, Paul said, all things are lawful to me, but they're not expedient. They're not useful. Now, why am I going to resort to the thinking of the flesh when I have been washed and made clean? Why am I going to fall under the deception of doing something because I can do it rather than doing things because it's a good thing? See, that's what he's saying here. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but then listen to what he says. But I will not be brought under the power of any. Now I'm going to use a simple illustration here, and I'm not picking on this one thing. I don't think anybody in here even has this problem, addiction, or whatever you want to call it. But let's say smoking. Now, you can light up as many cigarettes as you want to and smoke them till you can't hardly breathe anymore. And it's lawful to you. Nothing is going to bring you into condemnation if you're in Christ. But it's not expedient, is it? Not only that, but listen to what Paul said. I will not be brought under the power of any. He says, I won't let anything in the flesh control me. He says, I'll war against it. Now you see, this is what he's getting at right here. He says, sure, you can do that. You can do that. It's not going to bring you into condemnation. But it's not helpful. It's not useful. It's not bringing glory to God in the fact that if you become addicted to something. Now let's talk about something that everybody does have a problem with. Since we talked about something maybe most everybody don't have a problem with, let's talk about something everybody does have a problem with. What about eating? Huh? Now, eating is a good thing. I mean, the Lord made good food for our benefit. I mean, you know, just think, what if we had to eat sawdust? I mean, what if that was what we lived off of? That wouldn't be very enjoyable. It would be pretty easy not to eat much, would it? But the Lord gave us good food. Now, is the problem the good food? No, the problem's not the good food. What's the problem? It's how we think about it, is it not? And so, because I can go and eat a whole cake, and it's not going to bring me into condemnation, but it's not expedient for me to eat a whole cake, is it? It's not useful. Not only that, it's not good to be brought under the power of it, is it? To just eat because we want to eat. Not eat because we need to eat. And so there's what the difference is. So Paul says all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to be controlled by the flesh is basically what he says here. He's going to war against it. Now, here's the thing. You see, God's people are stirred by the Spirit of God to war against the flesh. Paul said, I don't always do what I know to do. Sometimes we do the wrong thing in spite of all these warnings, don't we? That's why he says, I cannot be brought under the power of any of these things. You see, the power to condemn is not in any of those things, for there is no law against the sons of God. All things are lawful. Then he says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats. Now, he's using food here as an illustration of all things having to do with the flesh. He's saying, meats for the belly and the belly for meats. I mean, the flesh has got certain needs and things, desires and that sort of thing, and these things can be fulfilled. But he said, that's not what we live for. But God shall destroy both it and them. Because you see, the power of the flesh is not the power of our life. The power of the flesh is not that which controls the children of God. We have a nobler calling, do we not? I mean, are the sons of God called to be drunkards and extortioners and all of those things? No. You see, because there is a law against those things, but against the children of God, there are no laws. There's no law against love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. There's no condemnation to the people of God. God shall destroy both it and them. The flesh is going to be destroyed. Now listen to what he's saying. Now remember that the issue that he had with them was over the subject, the matter of fornication, sexual impurity. He says, listen to what he said. Now the body is not for fornication. The Lord didn't create sexuality for the purpose of misusing it and abusing it. He created it for His own purpose, which was for the good of men, good of mankind. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now remember, he's talking about what's expedient. He's talking about what's proper. He's talking about what's right. He's not talking about something that can bring us into condemnation. I mean, can a child of God be brought into condemnation by sexual impurity? Not according to what Paul said. He said, all things are lawful to me. But he said, the body is not for fornication. That's not why the Lord made us. And that's certainly not why Jesus Christ cleansed us and washed us in His blood. It's not so that we could freely have sexual impurity among us of whatever type it might be. Because you see, men like to try to categorize this, and they like to say, well, this type of sexual impurity, I mean, looking at pornographic pictures or whatever, that's okay. That's not anything wrong with that. But now if you go over here and you commit adultery with another person's wife or husband, now there's something wrong with that. But you see, as far as that, what the Scripture's speaking about here and how God is viewing these things, all of this stuff's the same thing. It doesn't make any difference what the activity is or to what degree a person goes into it. It's wrong before God. But dear brethren, Paul's making a distinction here, but he said, and he's using this particular thing as the distinction. Now, it's as if he said fornication is not unlawful. Now, that'll get you thrown out of a lot of places. It's not unlawful. But dear brethren, we're not concerned with what is lawful as far as what can I get by with and not go to hell. See, that's how a lot of people look at it. Oh, well, you better not do that because God's wrath will come down on you and you'll be sent to hell. No, that's not how we're looking at this, dear brethren, because we've been washed, we've been sanctified, we've been cleansed by the Spirit of God. Our mind's been renewed in Christ. And though all things are lawful to us, all things are not expedient, and certainly not those type things. They're not expedient. And so why on earth would we be brought under the power of them, he's saying? The body's not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. So listen to what he's saying. He says, all things are lawful to me. He says, it's not a matter of law as to whether or not you could go and lay with a harlot. Now, that's pretty straightforward. But in essence, that's what he's saying. It's not that you cannot do that. But he said it's not expedient, and it's most certainly not in keeping with the life that is expected and demanded by the Spirit of God of those who are walking in the Spirit of Christ. Your body is not to be made members of a harlot. You don't have any business doing that. And when you do that, you've been overtaken in a fault. No, you can't be brought into condemnation, but that's not what you're... We're not be sitting around thinking, well, what can I do now that, well, I can avoid condemnation, but I can go on and I can go just up to the edge. See, that's how the flesh thinks, isn't it? You know, I don't want to step over the line. Well, what Paul's saying is there is no line. There's no line. You can't step over the line. There's no line. The directive is what's expedient, what's good, what brings glory to Christ. What is it that would cause us to praise God more? That's why He saved us, dear brother. That's why He brought us out of darkness and into the light. So we don't live under the cloud of the law. And we don't put restrictions on God's people, but we exhort God's people to remember who they are and to walk in such a fashion as is becoming the gospel of Christ. You see, that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because you see, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the law, but after the Spirit. Now that's a statement of fact. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's what he's talking about right here. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not under that law anymore. I'm not under the cloud of it. But because I'm not under the cloud of it doesn't mean, well, now I kick off the traces and just I'll let my flesh run wild. Why would I do that? Would that be expedient? Would that be useful? Would that bring glory to God? Would going to law against my brother, would that be useful? How would that help anything? Oh, I might get my possession. But what would I be doing? All I'd be doing would be justifying myself in the world, in the flesh, but not before Christ. Because you see, if I would be like Christ, I would be those who, when I was accused, I didn't say anything. When I was threatened, I didn't turn back. I prayed for those that threatened me, those that misused me. I desired their best. You see, that's what Christ has called His people to be. That's what He demands of us. Now, He doesn't demand it of us and He says, if you don't do it, I'll kill you. No. He says, I expect that of you. He said, because you're washed. You're cleansed. See, there's a different perspective that God's people are to have about how they walk in this world. Not as though the law's hanging over their head and they've got to, they can go right up to a certain edge and they... Just as long as it don't go past. You know, a kid, if you tell him, now don't mess with that over there. And he'll get over there, you know, and you say, now don't touch it. And he'll get down there and his hand will get going down, you know. And when he thinks you're not looking, he'll reach out there and do that. And then he's thinking, well, I did all right. Well, no. See, that's not the thinking of the children of God. Is think, well, just, you know, how far we can go up to, we can do this. I mean, that's not how we're to be thinking about things, but rather, is it profitable? Is it useful? Does it bring glory to God? Is it that which would magnify the name of Christ? And that is, dear brethren, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.